Yes, and certainly in the sort of Spanish golden age of mysticism, there was a great conference and working together and translating of the different writings from the Arabic to Latin and so and I mean that did fall apart, but there was this great experience of dialogue at that time. And certainly a lot of particularly in well, in some of John's writing, some of his poetry is John of the Cross, who's later than Osuna. But I mean, often I get a sense of, you read some of the Sufi poetry and some of his poetry and say, well, you could actually swap it. It's very, very similar in its language. But I think that as soon as he wasn't the poet. I mean, to me, he's quite a process man. He's quite a practical man, and he doesn't make assumptions at all. He kind of takes you through the steps, and in that way, it's quite helpful. But he also speaks all the way through with an abundance of very ordinary images, as well as the more conventional symbolic ones from scripture. So, hence the fisherman, or like another one of his images that I think, well, I enjoy is, as he says, this, if you go back to the awakening, he says, often the will, our wills, our spiritual wills, are kind of like lazy oxen, and it's almost as if they need oxen. Lazy oxen need prodding, and they, you get this sort of sharp prod, and this is the something of what an awakening feels like. It's like a, it's not necessarily this sort of woozy thing. It's can be a quite a wake-up call. That's can be something quite penetrating and sharp. So depending on how we are, our awakening will take different shape, and we can look for that kind. And another image is of looking for these dynamics within us, these slight subtle movements. He says, imagine someone who's digging for gold, gold digger. It's always the next shovelful that's going to hold the nugget, and it's like the next thing in life. That having that constant vigilance. It's in the next time I actually reflect that there's going to be, I'm going to notice this little subtle movement. So, taking examples from everyday life.
I must tell you a story about my father. He'd lost his key to his bicycle on the beach, and he took a shovel and he went down to the beach to sort of try to find, and he dug and dug and dug, and he said, "And can you imagine? The last shovelful had the key."
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah. Two, that would always be the case.
You wouldn't have taken another one. It was just fascinates me. And of course, I don't know. Of course, I can take a shower full and find a key, but I wouldn't kind of stop there. Go home and unlock the bike and send off. Yes, continue on the way to the speed.
Anything else?
Just for going to go.
Yes, yeah.
One thing that struck me actually
Yeah, that's interesting. Yes. Yeah. Mm.
Mm.
Yes, I would say that he comes across quite rounded in that way, because he gets into his kind of quite masculine way as well, but there's a sort of very intuitive, yeah, quite you know, speaking from here, yeah. And in fact, I noticed that Mary Giles, who writes an introduction to his writings in the classics version of the third alphabet, and she sort of makes the comment that when he goes into didactic theological mode, he's almost his least effective. And there are occasions where, you know, he puts on that hat, but it's almost as if that's not his particular gift to us, and it's more this inner reflection that flows, that is. And I think that all the way through, he's speaking from in a very pastoral way. He's deeply involved in the spiritual journeying of many people. And so all the time he's giving little examples of people's real experience or his own real experience. And he's very, very passionate about that. That people don't suffer unnecessarily because of their confusion or misunderstanding about about spiritual things.
I've gone into logical mode now.
Oh dear.
Who came in? I think Mars father, because, you know, for example, I think it's useful because, you know, if he was digging away in that beach, we're saying, well, of course he'll stop when he finds the key.
Mm.
But actually, if he was thinking, I'm going to take one more shovel and that's the end of it, I can't do any more of this, then actually that's a different thing.
Isn't it
saying, he decided, I'm going to take one more, and by some miracle that was the one that had it.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes that's what happens to us. Mm.
We
kind of think we're at the end of the road.
Yeah, I think that what he is tapping into, and maybe you getting a feel of there is, hooking into, is that along with this vigilance requires a lot of intentionality as well as endurance and patience. You know, it's the capacity to keep looking, as well. You know, this. Something about keeping vigil. It's certainly, you know, in the African tradition, I mean, in their spirituality, they're great on vigils and all night vigils and Easter vigils. And there's something about that staying up and staying awake for a long time.
Watching.
Yeah, okay, sort of watching. You know, waiting for the dawn, or waiting for whatever, and that's something of that spirit of, and it's really hard, you know. I mean,
it was amazing that my dad actually went back to the beach with a shower filled with
yes, yeah. Yes, yeah. 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 Yeah, sort of hopefulness.
Could start off looking for the key in the course of digging.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
You still need the key of your bike.
Yeah. So perhaps that's one of the ways that we often we don't quite know what we're looking for until we actually recognize it in something else. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Actually, that is.
Losing images or that keep on going more interiorly and waiting for the illumination, waiting for the dawn, waiting for the presence. So this is great help for many people. What's happening in this prayer journey?
Yeah,
to hope that God's presence will come, that there will be inflow, but for many people they're in the desert for a long time. They're in the not known for a long time. It's tremendous loss of what they thought they were. It's always not a sense of your full self, but for many people that has been their experience of their life and self for a long time. So the hope is terribly important that God's going to come anew, but the loss of the old can be in a lifetime.
Is hope, is hope connected to the will, or is hope a God-given thing? Because I can't sort of hope. I can't just make a decision. I will keep hoping. Is it connected?
I think that. It's interesting. I mean, what I find helpful is John of the Cross picks up the connection and talks about the connection between remembering and the remembrance of God and hope. That if you, in this way of recollection, it's sort of almost like the it nurtures hope spontaneously, because if you have within you this a sense of the God within you, that alters how you actually go forward into situations where it seems that nothing is happening, or that it may be all doom and gloom. So there is a connection between the transformed memory and the capacity to literally have a sense of holding the presence of God within you and hope. That is different to optimism or expecting that things must go in a particular way that you want. That's very different. Yes, and perhaps that's, you know, with the image of the pot, that's the transformation of the powers, that the knowing is no longer just an intellectual consent. It's a more direct, intuitive thing. Huge paradigm shift. But once you get a taste of that, it's something that changes in this. And that's the language that Osuna uses and picks up from the Desert Fathers, that the knowledge of God is something that you taste in the heart. And in the heart was the place of knowing in that symbolic way. So it's not the exterior tasting or the physical tasting. This is the sort of a very subtle flavor or sense of the flavor and presence of the Spirit.
Does the will come into this exercise of them?
Well, where he's talking about the transformation of the powers, the will and and the intellect and the memory in their new spiritual capacity are all working together. You know, so it's no longer a sort of separate you know, I have an intellect and I have a will and I have a memory. It's the kind of working together in harmony. And this is when he's talking about the gathering up, which that was that which is dispersed. It's a, that's what God does in the human person is we talk about them in separate ways and separate them, but ultimately where they're all working together, supporting each other, like the memory serves desire and the desire would serve the knowing and the knowing serves, you know, the other. So it's that kind of natural flow of the faculties, one with the other. Okay, shall we bring this to a close? Well, thank you very much for coming. And I'm going to, there were a couple of people who come to a small little group called the Still Moves spirituality group on a Thursday here once a month. And a couple of people wanted to come here and hear this talk, but they weren't able to. So we thought that we might actually unpack the movements more slowly over the next couple of months on a Thursday afternoon once a month. So if you are interested in taking it much more slowly than today, just let me know. And I will also touch into some of this material, particularly the body, spirit walking together section in a day that I'm, well, a morning that I'm going to do with at the House of Prayer, which is on the 1st of November. So if any of you are interested in that. And there are some talks being offered by Silence in the City in London, and I've got a bit of information about that. If you'd like to make a small donation, you're very welcome to put something in the little red box. And if you'd like to stay and talk and have a cup of soup or have a cup of tea, you're also welcome.
Thank you very much.
Oops. Disappeared. Edit that bit off.